So that's a blessing. Take your Bibles and turn to Malachi chapter 3 tonight. Malachi chapter 3. It's always good to see these children also learn that the gift that God's given to them, they're going to use for the glory of God. And I'm thankful for that. That was great. Malachi chapter 3. Well, I want to talk to you just a minute before we actually get right into the lesson here. I want us to understand kind of where we are here. As many of you know, we're winding down. We want to get this wrapped up, this series on discipleship. We're coming up with candlelight service and a lot of busy time, other services during the holidays. And we want to set those, as we get closer to Christmas, set those days aside for the Christmas messages and so on. So what we're going to try to do is we're going to wrap this up by next week. So tonight we're going to have this session. Sunday night we're going to have another one of discipleship sessions, which is really unusual because Sunday night I sure like that. That's a preaching night. And then Wednesday night next week, and then we'll wrap up this series. Now some of you should be praying about God using you and helping with discipleship. And I don't know how many of you that the Lord is dealing with, but in another week or so, we're going to be calling some people and saying, hey, you know, where are you? And are you wanting to help us with this? Because here's what I believe. Every one of you in here should be a disciple. And every one of you in here should make disciples for the Lord Jesus. There's no doubt about it that our job as believers in Christ is to try to help others to know Christ and grow them so they can do the same thing. And the reason why we are not reaching our world is because we're not doing those things. Now, you know, the truth matter is tonight, and I'm just kind of giving you a little bit of a challenge. The truth matter is tonight, there is nothing wrong with God's plan. Nothing wrong with it. In fact, there's nothing wrong with God's word. And there's nothing wrong with the power of God. So where's the breakdown? Doesn't Jesus say something like this? Seems like to me I read this, and maybe I'm wrong. Could have been one of these other books, but I think I read something like this. Jesus says, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are what? Few. Oh, you must have read the same book I did. Well, you know, I really think the laborers ought to be many. The laborers ought to be many. We ought to be busy about being disciple makers. I mean, that's what it's about. We want to help others, and we want to grow others. And I'm going to be honest with you tonight, it's not about the growth of the church. It's about the growth of the kingdom of God. It's about reaching more people and helping more people to know Christ. Because honestly, tonight, there are so many people who are looking for answers. You have it. We have it. God's word has the answer. And we've got to help them to know that. And our job is not done just to birth them. Our job is, after that, is now that we've led them to Christ, is to help them to grow in their walk with the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to do all that I can in preaching, and I'm going to do all that I can in trying to get them in church, but disciplers are those who are going to be the key to bring all that together. You're going to be the key. One of the things exciting for me, and I hope you don't mind me using this, but Susan's been discipling Don. And you know, and I'm excited because I see Susan when she sits on Sunday morning. Now Dawn's sitting right next to her, and that's exciting to me. And you might say, well, you know, preacher, I'm so busy. I got so many things to do. You know, we're going to do this on Wednesday night. That's how we're going to do it. I'll explain how all that's going to work when we get there. But the truth is, all that I'm doing is not to just kind of put it into your life as a big sponge, but it's to squeeze out everything you learn so that you can help others. That's what it's about. And so I hope that we're getting the vision of this. This is not just something that, man, this is really good. I'm really glad I'm growing in my walk with God. No, it's just that we take and pass it on to the next person. And I look at it this way, if every one of us in here could be teaching someone else, we're going to grow dramatically, and so will the people that we're working with. I don't know how many of you, when you first got saved, had someone do something like that for you, but if you did not, you know what you missed out on, and if you did, you know how valuable it was. I never had anyone do this for me. And I just, you know, in my heart, I said, you know, Lord, I don't want us as a church to fail helping teach new Christians how to live the Christian life and what it's about. It's not about a list of rules and a list of do's and a list of don'ts. It's about getting them close to God and let God develop a vibrant relationship with them. That's what this is all about. And of course, in our 50 days of focus, will be that exact same thing for you as you continue in the deeper things. These are basics. This is the basics of the Christian life. And so I'm hoping that many people say, you know what, you count on me. You know, we need couples, we need singles, we need, you know, men, women, we need teenagers, we need anyone that will say, yeah, you know what, you can count on me, Pastor, I'll do it. And I trust and pray that God will speak to your heart about that. Now, in Malachi chapter 3 tonight, we're there, and I hope you have your Bibles open, and we're going to talk about the most difficult subject, the most sensitive subject that the Bible mentions. It's the area of money and giving. It is a sensitive subject. If you want to make somebody mad, mess with their money. It just is a very sensitive area. And if I'm dealing with new Christians or new believers, man, I want to be very, very careful in helping them to understand. Yet at the same time, I want to teach them the truth. There is a truth about this. And I know we've kind of dealt with a little bit of money here recently, and it's not like, you know, we're trying to be over-dominant about that. But I do want us to understand that God teaches us this area of giving. Can we stand together, please, as we read Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 8. Malachi chapter 3 and verses 8 through 12. You should have your notes out, and in your notes will help guide you through this passage. The Bible says in Malachi 3 verse number 8, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." Thank you, and you may be seated. The key truth in the Bible is that everything that we have belongs to God. That's the key truth. That's what it boils down to. We are managers or stewards. Everything belongs to God. We came here to this planet with nothing, and we'll leave everything that we had when we die. We are managers. It's not ours. Our home is not ours. Our life is not. This air is not ours. It all belongs to God. We have to understand that. That's a hard lesson. It's a hard lesson for people to understand. When we got saved, God did something in our life that made a dramatic change. We talked about it in the very first lesson. This change that occurs, we went from being selfish, living for ourselves, to selfless, living for Christ. That's the change that occurred. That change is slow. That change sometimes is resistant to our own flesh, but God says that there's a change that takes place. And certainly when we think of what the Bible has to say about him owning everything, we understand very clearly that we as God's people, that we have to understand that God has told us how we're to manage his things. He has the right to do that. No one would ever want to be selfish with God. Why would we? He saved us. God is so selfless. He is our example. He's given us a biblical responsibility now that we give a portion of our income to God. A small portion. This portion is to say to God that, God, this portion is yours that we take aside and give to you, recognizing that all of it belongs to you, but this portion we set aside for you. Excuse me. And God says that we as his people must be careful that we recognize that. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. Essentially, when we think about giving, though, that involves an element of faith. Because when we give, we think of it something like this. You know, as I give a portion of any of my financial income, as I give to God, I wonder how much of that can I do without. But it doesn't work like that. We don't think like that. What we do think is this. All of it belongs to God. How much of it does God allow me to have? How much of it is it that God allows me to keep? It's not how much we have to give to him. It's how much we are allowed to keep. And we'll look at that and understand that in just a moment. Now, there are basically two types of description. We just read about them in verse number 8. Can I show you what those two ways or two amounts of giving, how it's measured? The first one is the tithe, and the second is the offering. It is measured in two ways, the tithe and the offering. If you notice in this passage, God is addressing both. He says that there should be a tithe and there should be an offering. God is very clear in that matter. So what we're going to do in this lesson is we're just going to look at basically a borrowed outline from a pastor, which helps us to better understand this. This is Pastor Richard Worsham of the Baptist Temple in Holbrook, Mass. And I want to talk to you about some things to help us to better understand what we call the tithe and the offering. Number one, notice God's purpose for the tithe. Why is it that God has a purpose? Why is it that God tells his people that we are to tithe? And we'll talk about how much that is in just a moment, how that works. But what is it? First of all, it's to provide for the work of God's people. It's to provide for the work of God's people. When you look at this passage out here in Malachi, and we'll look in some other places, we recognize the fact that the people would meet together. They would have a time where they would gather together and they would worship God. And God is reminding us that in order for us to be able to worship him, that there must be the necessary resources to do that. Like in our modern day, we really don't need a building to worship God, do we? We really don't. But we have a building. In fact, the truth matter is, when you look at it, there are probably a lot of things we don't need that we think we need. But we do have to have some type of way in which we as a church operate. To be honest with you, living in this day and time in which we live, we have to have insurance. We have no choice. Some of you might say, well, you know, I don't like insurance. I don't either. I hate insurance. It always seems like that, you know, you have insurance, you pay thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. You have one incident where you draw out, and then they raise your rates. But you have to pay insurance. A church has to pay for insurance. Do you realize the buses that we drive have to be insured? Gas has to go in the buses. And in case you haven't noticed, since we do have a building, there are building costs. Lights, gas, water, maintenance. It costs money. It just does. There's office supplies. So we have to have these things, and we realize that, yeah, the church probably could move out into some lot somewhere, but it'd be a little cold tonight. But thank God we have a building on a corner, and God's really good to us in providing this nice building for us to enjoy. But the way God provides for that is through the tithe of God's people. That's how God provides. That's why we have that. That's why we can have a bus ministry. We bring in 73 children, I think, that came on Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. That's why we can provide a Christian school. Have you noticed a Christian school costs money? For parents to be able to put their kids in a Christian school. I mean, that's the way it works. So when you look at it then, God uses it to provide for the work of God's people and the needs of God's people. It does. But then also, God's purpose for the tithe is to provide the faithfulness, to prove rather the faithfulness of God. You see, when we give to God, we're allowed to see God work in our life, and He can bless us. In fact, have you ever noticed this? And older Christians notice this especially. As you give, God always gives you more than ever you ever give. Amen. Just the way He does it. The reason why some people never experience that is because they don't give. They have no idea what that's about. But I have found that whenever I give and I turn it loose, God just has this way of providing it back. And in fact, after a while, it kind of gets exciting. Okay, God, I'm going to give. See how much you need. Oh, give it a little more. No, give a little more. Here it comes. It's just amazing. It proves God's faithfulness. But then something else it does, it pays honor to God when I give. If you notice in this passage, God was not honored by their lack of obedience, by their lack of caring to give. When people get selfish and greedy and steal from God what rightfully belongs to Him, then God is dishonored. And I don't know about you, but as a Christian, I always want to honor God with my life. And tithing is a way to honor God. So that's the purpose in giving. Secondly, there's the plan for the tithe. The plan for the tithe. What are we to give? How much, people ask. What is a tithe? They're not used to the word tithe. What is it? It's 10%. 10% or a tenth of our income. Whatever God provides is considered a tithe as God sends it in. 10% of everything that God sends in, that's considered the tithe. So where am I to give it? Well, verse 10 tells me. Notice if you would in verse 10, as the Bible says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Now, what is the storehouse? Well, in this case, in the book of Malachi, in the Old Testament, it was a storehouse of where people would come for, where they would store goods and food, and because they would tithe their grains, and it was considered a place of local worship. Now, the New Testament, we call it the church. That's the New Testament. They bring their tithes and offerings to the storehouse, or what we would call the treasury of the local church, as we give. And that's how we do that. We do that at our church here. We make sure that we give. And by the way, our giving is never to a man. We don't give the money to the pastor. And so sometimes people might say, well, you know, I'm mad at the pastor, so I'm not going to tithe or I'm not going to give anything. That's the wrong thing to do. That's wrong. Because you're not really striking out the pastor. You're striking out at God. I don't like this or I don't like that. That's not how that works, you know. Now, there's a responsibility for the treasurer and the operation of the church that they make sure they handle the money right. There's no doubt about that. But we're to give to the local church, is what the Bible says. And that's how God describes that. And then when are we to give? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 is our memory verse. Can we look at that, please, with me? 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. God tells me when I'm to give. The Bible says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. What is the first day of the week? Sunday. Sunday, the first day of the week. Now, that's not that we can't give it on Wednesday or Tuesday or Monday or Friday. But God has designed it biblically that since Sunday starts a week, that we give our money as God prospers us each week. And some people get paid once a week, and it's always best that the first check we write is our tithe. And we do it weekly. And that's what the Bible teaches. That's when we're to give it. So God has a plan. This is God's plan. And what this is doing is, this is simply showing us how powerful God really is, and watching God meet our needs, and watching God bless the ministry, and watching God expand his kingdom through the local church. That's the tithe. That's how God works. But I want you to notice the God's promise to those who do this. You see, that's the problem. Most people never get to this place because they're nervous about it, you know? Because after all, it's an expensive world we live in today. Gas is going up. Groceries are going up. Actually, gas is going down. Praise the Lord for that. I told my wife the other day, it felt really strange the other day. I said, we were out, and I said, you know, I see gas is $3.40 a gallon. I'm going to stop and fill up. I was thinking 3 years ago, if it's at $3.40, I said, that's highway robbery. Now it's a great price. Of course, I'll take 40 cents a gallon over that any day, but praise the Lord for that. But the point of the matter is, as we give unto him, we realize that we're not adjusting our giving based on economic conditions of the world. We just want to be obedient to God. But what is the problem when man refuses to give? Well, failing to tithe is dishonest, period. Failing to tithe dishonors God, and failing to tithe denies our responsibility to God. Simply saying we're not responsible to God, but that's not true. But what does God promise to those who tithe? Well, first of all, he promises that he will prosper us. Now, prosperity doesn't always come in dollars and cents. In other words, our motivation for giving, we'll look at that in a minute, but our motivation for giving is not so that we can get more. That's not how it works. That's false teaching. We don't give so that we can give more. That's the wrong motive for that. But God does have a way in prospering us, and what the Bible says here in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 10, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy precious shall burst out with new wine. You know what it says? God's going to give you plenty. You'll have plenty. The problem with a lot of people is it's not the fact that God doesn't provide, it's just the fact we try to live above what God provides. I knew that was going to hit home. We want to live above that. No, God says, no, you live within that. See, our country is struggling with that right now. They're trying to figure that out. You know, if you live below your means, you're able to live and give and do what you're supposed to give. So he will prosper us. Number two, there will be plenty. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. As I give, God always provides. He gives me plenty. In fact, the truth matters, there's probably a lot of things I could do without that God gives me. There are some things I could do without. But God's just been really good in providing. Not only does he provide my needs, he provides my wants. And there's nothing special about me. There's nothing super spiritual about me. I just know that early in my Christian life, I learned to tithe. And the best time to start is today. Start right now. And then verse 11, the Bible says that he will protect us. If you go back to Malachi 3, verse 11, notice what it says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. God says he's going to protect you. The devourer, of course, is Satan. And God says he's going to protect his people. Those of us who give, we can be assured that we have, that God is working on our behalf, because saying, God, you know, we're giving you everything. We're vulnerable, Lord, and we need you. We need your help. We need your provision. And Lord, we recognize we can't live any day without you. Any minute of any day. Any second of any minute of any day. We need you. And God protects. And then lastly, we will have a testimony of the blessings of God. You see, there's so many blessings that we can share. So many things. When Christians decide that they just want to start now. And someone has said to me one time, well, you know, once I get out of debt, I will start tithing. Can I remind you of something? The Bible says we were born in debt. You say, what? I'm a debtor to God. I'll never get out of debt. I mean, even if I pay all of my bills off and I have a zero balance and everything, and I have the pink slip for my car, and I have the mortgage burnt, and I have the deed to the house, it doesn't matter. I am still a debtor to God. You'll never get to that place. In fact, if you try to do that, you'll miss God's plan. We're not to wait 30 years to start tithing. We're to obey God now. That's what God says. You say, what's the motivation then? Well, here's the motivation. The love of Christ. Do you love Christ? That would be like me saying, you know what? I'll start giving Christmas gifts to my family when we get out of debt. But don't you love your wife? Yeah, I do. But you know what? I got a debt. I got so much I got to get. You know, I mean, after all, I got a car payment. I got a house. And I got all these things. But don't you love your wife? Yeah, I do. Well, don't you think your love for your wife is more important than your debt? How about for your kids? Absolutely. But I'm going to tell you, our love for God is more than my love for anything else. It would be much better to rent a place and tithe than own a big mansion and spend beyond my means and give nothing to God. Amen. That's the difference. And a lot of people don't know that. They don't understand it. Why not drive a used vehicle with half the car payments, or pay it off so you can tithe, than try to have something you can't afford to drive and then you can't tithe? Because really, when we have something like that, you know, we're saying we love that more than we love God. And God is trying to teach us how much we're to love Him. He wants to be first in our life. He wants to be the Lord of our life. And that's why this giving is so important, because it expresses my love to Him. Amen. All right, let's look at the questions. Let's see if we can get those questions answered. Take a few minutes and see how much we can do on these questions, how well we can do on these questions. Take a couple minutes. Everybody ready to go? All right, number one. Question number one. I'm gonna walk around. I'm going to see who did it. Okay? I'm going to come all the way in the back. I don't know about this back row crowd. That's the one I'm bothered about. Sorry. Yeah. What are you guys doing back here? All right, number one. Christ not only wants to be your Savior, but your what? Lord. Yeah, your Lord. You see, when He's the Lord of your life, giving is never a problem. Because you know that He owns it all anyway. John Cofer, who comes to our church occasionally, he runs the Fairfield Funeral Home. He told me, he said, you know, Pastor, I have never seen a U-Haul trailer behind a hearse. Because it's not going. And you know, I've said that before, but it's kind of funny to hear it coming from a mortician. But it's true. We leave it all, so does His. All right, number two. What are the two descriptions of giving in the Bible? Tithe and offering. Right. Tithe and offering. You notice that this lesson focused around the tithe. We didn't even talk about the offering. Wonder why. And you know, I've had some people say, well, and I'm just saying this to you who are older Christians. I've had some people say, well, that's Old Testament. That's just how they did in the Old Testament. That's the law in the Old Testament. Well, to be sure, in the Old Testament, there was the duty bound. They were duty bound to give according to law. There's no doubt about that. In the New Testament, the focus is around desire because we love Christ. That's why it says, as God has prospered you, give. So the idea is if God gives you more money, you should give more to God. Not go out and buy the bigger car or the bigger house or more clothes or fancier toys. That's how the world does it. But the idea then is, you know, we understand that Jesus taught us in Matthew 23:23 that he says in that passage that we're to not only that we're to give, but he says, and it says the tithe, but we're also to have the right heart in giving. That's what that whole verse is about. My whole heart in serving. In other words, it's a relationship. It is not that, you know, for me, in giving to my family or to someone I love is not a problem because it's not like I'm duty bound. Okay, I got to give my wife a Christmas gift. No, I do because I love her. And the whole idea then with Christ is that we love him, and so we're willing to do this. And not just the 10%, but you know what? I want to do more than that. See, we, you know, we have the idea, well, man, 10%, I've done my job. No. So we're talking about offering. That's beyond the 10. See, I don't look at 10% as being the final. I see that as being the beginning. That's the starting place. You say, well, how does that work? Let God teach you about that, okay? He's pretty good about it, much better than me. All right, number three, give one purpose for giving to God. Help the church, operate the church, what else? Does it honor God? Yeah. What's the other one? What's that? What did someone say? Yeah. Prove the faithfulness of God. Don't miss that. God is faithful. We don't miss it. All right. Number four. What percent does the tithe mean? How much?
10.
You sure it's not a half a percent? Or like 2%? Or 3%? 10. Okay. Number five. What day of the week are we to give to God? Sunday. Now, any day of the week is good to give to God, but God says biblically it's Sunday. That's why we want to make sure as we take our offering, you know, we always prepare, we're ready to go. Okay. Number six. According to Malachi 3:8, failing to tithe is what? Dishonoring to God. That's exactly it. Dishonoring to God. Seven, according to Proverbs 3:10, what does God promise when we do tithe? Prosper us. We like that prosperity part, don't we? But have you ever thought about it this way? God may not prosper you necessarily by giving you more money. You know what God might do? He may let your car run longer than you normally would think it would. Or your refrigerator may last longer. You know, my wife and I, we've tithed all the years that God's, you know, we've been saved. And ever since we've been married, we've always tithed and everything. You know what's really strange? We don't have very many appliance problems. Now, I say that, maybe tonight it'll change. But, you know, we buy appliances and they seem to just last forever and ever and ever. Now, the ice makers don't always work right. Or this doesn't always work right. But you know what? We had a dryer when we got married. I mean, that thing lasted like 20-some years. A dryer. We had a washer that lasted a long time, like forever and ever and ever. I just wonder if maybe it's not because we've been tithing that God just said, you know what? Let's not let them have all those mechanical problems. We'll just take that off their back. Maybe that's how God prospers you. You ever thought about that? Or how about even better, no health problems? You ever thought about how God prospers some of you? Some of you are healthy people. You eat terrible. And you're still healthy. Maybe that's it. I don't know. I'm just, you know, kind of cutting up with you a little bit. You know what I'm saying, though? God has a way of doing that, doesn't he? It's amazing how God can prosper us. And then the last one is, what is the greatest motive for giving to God? What is it? Love. Yeah, love. We love him. That's the greatest motive. You know, it's not like I, you know, kind of check in on my wife tomorrow morning and say, okay, what's the first thing she's going to do? Give me everything. No, but when I see my wife, I want to give her everything because I love her. Love her. I want to give to my kids. I love them. I want to give to people. I love people. That's what it's about. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight we